know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places.
Coming in now.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. And I hope that you are declaring that there is no other name that's higher than the name of Jesus. In these days, Jesus is the only thing that we can stand on. He's the only person that we can stand upon. He's the only person that we can trust and rely in. He's the only person that can deliver us individually. He can deliver us as a nation, and he can deliver the world. It's only the name of Jesus Christ. You know, and that that song, I've had that on repeat for several months now. But, you know, it's a prayer. If you hear the lyrics, I pray into the atmosphere. Spirit of God, you're here. You have all authority. I pray over my heart and mind. I am healed by your stripes. Your blood declares that I am free. And if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you have declared that his blood was shed for you, and that he shed that blood, he died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, and then he ascended into heaven. When you declare that in your life, and that you receive the sacrifice that Jesus paid for you, then you are free. And then the other lyrics in the song, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, calling on the power of heaven, I proclaim. When you proclaim something, your declaration or a proclamation, you're saying, this is what I believe. And we can believe that every weapon formed against us must break in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we know that no weapon formed against us will hold anything, because Jesus has broken the power of the enemy. It says, I draw a permanent boundary line. The enemy has no rights to come near my family. No scheme could ever undo God's plan, no matter the circumstance. The cross has sealed my destiny. I mean, there's so much right in that right there about the boundary line. You know, the blood of Jesus, the enemy cannot cross the blood of Jesus. The enemy has no rights to us when we live, when we are born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy has no authority to come near your family, because you know, you stand in the gap for your family. No scheme could ever undo the plans of God in your life. He's already got our lives already laid out for us. Every single human being that's ever been born or will be born, he's got it all planned out. And the enemy cannot undo those plans, no matter the circumstance. And the cross has sealed our destiny. Calling on the power of heaven, I proclaim that every weapon must break. In the mighty name of Jesus, that all the power of fear and darkness must go. Every key to victory I hold in the mighty name of Jesus. Didn't the Lord say that he has given us power over all the power of the enemy? And through his word, the declaration of his word, when we believe what he says, when we believe what the cross represents, when we accept it, receive it, believe it, then we have, that's our key to the victory. The enemy's constantly coming against us and hurling insults and lies against us, but we just stand against him with the word. It says, I will not fear when the enemy comes near. On the door frame of my life is the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm protected on all sides by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then calling on the power of heaven, that fear, the power of fear and darkness has to go. And I know, just from my own life, I know what I've been through since I received the Lord many years ago. I know the battles that I've gone through, and those battles are to overcome, to overcome the lies that I always believed in my life. The lies of the enemy, stuff you're just ignorant about. Mm-hmm. Before the Lord, you don't know anything. You just know what people tell you. You just know and believe anything you know, your friends, you hang around with your friends, you get your family, you get all kind of things. But when we receive the Lord Jesus, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting men's sins against them. So if you have received the Lord Jesus, then just keep following after him. Keeping your eyes on him. Keep looking up. Keep knowing that things are going to change. And he's the only one that can bring it about in your life. And I just sense we're in a time of great growth in the body of Christ. There's a lot of things going on, and we're exposed to so many more things than we were, you know, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago. The information. I know in Scripture it says that knowledge will increase. And so with the increase of knowledge, it's like, yeah, the increase with knowing what's happening around the world in about 2 seconds, you know, so it's like there's so much more information that's being hurled at us, and so we need Jesus. We gotta stay close to him, and our eyes need to be upon him and not what's really going on in the world. We look, we see, but we don't really look. And I just, on my way here today, I thought, I had to get out to Gardens Mall yesterday to get something. My husband said, you get the stores right inside past the food court. And I'm like, that's the worst place I want to go. I do not like going to the food court at the mall. I mean, I wasn't going there, but I had to cut through there because I wanted the easiest path to get through. So, you know, I had to do a couple of circling around to get a parking space. And the Lord gave me a really nice space, four spaces down from the front door. So I thought that was pretty good. So I go in, and it was like just noise. And so, you know, there's people just going this way and that way. And trust me, I'm not saying I haven't been out of the house, but I really, I haven't really been out too much. You know, I'm at work, and then I'm at home. So everything's nice and quiet. So I was so shocked when I get in there, and it was just, you know, the smell of food and people and kids and all this stuff. And I'm like, keep my eyes focused. I'm just looking for the line to go straight ahead so I can get through there and get into the store. So I get in there, get what I needed, and then turn around and came right back out. Now, who does that at the mall? I had to, like, totally not look to the left or to the right, because I could have easily said, well, let me go over here and look for stuff. Let me go in this store. But the Lord's like, you're here for one thing, and that was to go pick it up and leave, because I had to go around to the other side to go into another store. And instead of walking through the mall to get what I needed, I drove around, because the thing I was picking up was kind of heavy. Anyway, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus and ignore the noise, ignore everything that's trying to pull us in a different direction, and just keep your eyes on him and know that he's covering us. He's with us all the time. Because if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things passed away and all things become new. And that's it for right now. So I want to welcome Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our brother Sean, how are you doing?
Good afternoon.
He's always way ahead of us.
Wake up, thou that sleepest.
Right.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Put on the armor of light. And as you were talking about direction, it's whatever it is, and we know who it is that's trying to pull people into the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. It's the Antichrist spirit that's trying to pull people knowingly or unknowingly in the wrong direction, and that direction is really called world dominance, and that's what it wants. And listen to how the book of Lamentations opens up, because it's time that the body of Christ wises up and recognizes who they are in Christ. And we need to start looking at ourselves in how the Father really sees us, so that a shift can take place. Because when a shift takes place, there's a sifting, just like as Jesus said to Peter, he'll try to sift you as wheat. But when the sifting takes place, it determines who you really are. But, you know, in this whole thought about world dominance, and as we wise up, here's where we don't want to end up. Lamentations chapter 1 begins with, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she who was great amongst the nations. The princess amongst the provinces has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks amongst all her lovers. She has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become their enemies." And as you know, the book of Lamentations just goes on and on and on. And it's a weeping prophet who is crying out and trying to warn people of the danger and the doom that is ahead if. But when people learn to see themselves as the Father sees them, a real shift takes place. It's supernatural in their thinking, because Scripture tells us, as a man thinks, so is he.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I just keep hearing these words that this gentleman I was listening to, he said, "Protect our divine purpose and release it, so the assignment of the enemy is broken." So it's definitely recognizing who you are and who you belong to, recognizing the end result, the future, right? Recognizing that truth and living a certain way, a holy, separated life. I believe when you do recognize your divine purpose, you recognize who you are, the identity you carry, truly the assignment of the enemy has to be broken. So there's a certain way that we have to walk. There's a certain way we have to live. And I can't stop thinking about Joseph in the Bible, Jacob's 11th son. Interesting how it was the 11th son. Joseph was the 11th son. And I just can't stop thinking, like, even Jacob knew already and maybe didn't even know. And it was just in him, just organic, right? And he was just responding to the Father's heart, the Father's purpose, what he said Joseph was from the beginning. Whether the requirements were filled on his behalf, whether he grew up or not, he was already called, right? He was already chosen. And so he gives him this robe, right? This robe, and it made a distinction between him and his brothers. That moment when he gave him that robe, the same way when Jesus is clothed with that robe of righteousness, and now we're clothed with that righteousness, it's the same distinction made in the heavens and on earth. A distinction was made. Just like even baptism, guys. When we go in that water and we're submerged in that water, we're declaring war. A distinction is being made. Light, darkness, from darkness to light. Our allegiance is claimed right there. Whether we know it or not, it's made clear. We're transferred from darkness into light when we are submerged into that water and we come out. We're aligning ourselves to the one. We're reclaimed to the one. And so here's Joseph. He's clothed in that righteousness. He's clothed with that purpose. He's clothed with that distinction, just like we are in Christ. And what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to be stirred up? What do you think is going to start coming out and unraveling in people? Jealousy, resentment. It gets crazy. Your very own brothers want to kill you. Sad to say, our brothers and sisters in Christ, deep down inside, if they allow, they want to kill us. The world wants to kill us. This distinction is made. Identity is being seen, even though identity is a process, really. You know, we can read it. We know what the Father says, but do we really believe it again? So we have to kind of work out that identity, right? And so we know the story. I mean, so much can be said, but I just keep thinking about Joseph, but just the end result. Because he chose the narrow way. Because he chose to do the right thing in spite of it all. Because he chose to say, okay, I'm a slave now. Well, I'm going to be a good slave. I'm going to be a slave with the excellency of our God. You know, I'm going to be a slave. I mean, I'm going to be thrown into the jail, not truly committing and not truly, you know, doing what that crime said I did, you know, what the people were saying I did, right? And I'm in jail, but I'm going to choose in jail to be used by God. I'm going to choose to operate in that gifting, right? And so many things were done to Joseph. Like, so many things are being done to the children of God that carry still that identity that they're unaware of, that made that distinction that they're unaware of. And so, yeah, so much can be said, but, you know, I'm just thinking about Joseph and his life, and it just speaks, you know. So I invite you guys to go in it, into Genesis, and
When you say Joseph, it's really talking about solid character, with the integrity, with excellence in discipline and internal stability and obedience to do that which is right because it is right and because it is the standard. Yes. And he is the standard.
Amen.
God, Jesus is the standard. So in raising up the standard, he's raising up people that have the talents and the giftings. He's raising up people who are excellent in performance along with the external appearance, but most important, the character, the fruit that is not only grown and developed, but being set apart for God and set apart for the very purpose of what God is saying in these days. Because what he's saying is, my church is triumphant. My church has already won. My church is a church without spot or wrinkle.
Yes.
And in the days to come, it's going to become really good for some and really bad for others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's going to show up. Because, you know, his brothers couldn't even recognize Joseph. They couldn't recognize their own brother in the end at that table. The table, you know, he created this wonderful dinner, you know, to gather his brothers. And they couldn't even recognize him until he finally said, I am your brother. I am Joseph. May the church look different in this season or coming out of this season. May the church look like its part. The original intent of God.
There's a lot of bickering going on. And we're seeing all the bickering coming from every camp in the body of Christ.
Wow. I
think it's the Lord's just exposing all of this stuff so that people can decide, well, I believe this one or I believe that one. Or I believe the Lord. You know, there's a lot of schisms. Is that what it is? Would that be the right word?
Schisms.
A lot of schisms. And it's again, through all of the camps, every camp in the body. So none is better than the other.
No.
And what is the good in calling out somebody else that you don't agree with, what difference does it make? What is it doing? It's not doing anything. And this, again, this is my bone of contention with stuff. It's really awful, and it has to stop. And, you get people on here just throwing, hurling accusations out about different people. And it's like, if we're a society we make all our judgments based on a video or by watching something that, maybe a 20-second clip of something. If you're making judgments on those things, then there's a real problem there. If you don't know an individual, you just don't know what if we came to your house and sat with you for a couple of days, what are we going to see? You hide behind your computer, you hide behind your screen and, have the scriptures in front of you and, have all the right words to say as you're pointing the finger at somebody else. I think the Lord's dealing with this right now in the church.
It's called strife. And at the root of strife is pride. And when a person doesn't really see who they are, then you have to ask yourself the question, when they don't see who they are in Christ, then they don't know how to stay in their own lane. They become prideful. And then strife just shows itself to be a spiritual cancer eating at the body. But thank God for his sovereignty.
Amen.
That he does love us and that he does forgive and that his mercy and his goodness endures forever.
And, by you mentioning sovereignty, I was talking to my friend Liz this morning. And she said, I woke up, and I hope it's okay, and if she's listening, I hope it's okay to share this, but she said the whole entire night she kept hearing that word, sovereignty, sovereignty, sovereignty. And she woke up, she says, the word of the Lord is sovereignty. Mm-hmm. He's sovereign. And he is sovereign because, again, you see his sovereignty play out in Joseph's life. Although he did no wrong, he was put in again, right, in prison. But then the Lord promoted him even in prison. Why? Because it says here in Joseph, in Genesis 39, 23, it says, the warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Everything to succeed, even when he was put in prison. Even if he... there's something... I feel like this story is kind of like a plan of action. Like war strategies for this time. Let's not point the finger, right? Let's not like get caught up in this. What is the Lord's perspective? What is he requiring of you? Do you see, do you see that? Like in this nice, beautiful book.
How many times do you see in Scripture where it says, O Lord God, unless you help us, we are sunk. And the sovereignty of God is so real. And as in the natural, so in the supernatural. Let me just lay this on you from Psalm 58. Listen real good for anyone who has ears to hear this. I'm just going to read Scripture. I'm not going to give an interpretation. But you know as well that in the natural, so as in the natural, so in the spirit realm. Psalm 58, I'm reading it from the Passion Translation. God's justice, you high and mighty politicians, know nothing about it. Which one of you has walked in justice towards others? Which one of you has treated everyone right and fair? Not one. You only give justice in exchange for a bribe. For the right price, you let others get away with murder. Wicked wanderers, even from the womb, that's who you are. You lie with your words, and your teaching is poison, like cobras closing their eyes to the most expert of the charmers. You strike out against all who are near. Oh God, break their fangs, shatter the teeth of these ravenous lions. Let them disappear like water falling on thirsty ground. Let all their weapons be useless. Let them be like snails dissolving into the slime. Let them be cut off, never seeing the light of day. God will sweep them away so fast that they'll never know what hit them. The godly will celebrate in the triumph of good over evil, and the lovers of God will trample the wickedness of the wicked under their feet. Then everyone will say, there's a God who judges the judges, and there's a great reward in loving God.
Amen. That's
sovereignty.
That's sovereignty. Mm. And it continues in, you know, in Psalm 60, towards the end, Psalm 60, 11. I know I cut out a lot of good stuff, but this stood out to me. Again, it says, help us against our enemy. We need your help. It's useless to trust the hand of man. The hand of man for liberation. Only through God can we be successful. It is God alone who will defeat our enemies and bring us victory. And that's the Voice translation for that. But it's clear to say that's the sovereignty of God. If it's only through God that we will be successful, and he will defeat our enemies, and he will bring us the victory. He did it in Joseph's life, and he'll do it in ours.
That's why when you look at the begats from one generation to the other, they have all been successive generations. And the last generation will be the church, and that will also be a successive generation.
Amen. 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 Let's go to a break, and we will be right back.
What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Okay, we're back. So as you guys were talking, I was thinking about Isaiah 40, verse 4. That every valley, well, let me go back before that. I don't know if I need to go back to the beginning. You know, in my Bible, it's, the title is Comfort for God's People. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, or for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind will together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I just had that, what I was saying before about the all the schisms in the church. You know, while the church, whoever they are, all of us are guilty of it in one way or another. You know, everybody thinks that everybody else needs to believe just like they do, not realizing that the Lord created each and every one of us with different, we have a different bent. We process things differently. We interpret things differently. We see things differently, and we do things differently. And there has to come a time when, in spite of who we don't like the way they do things, we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. And that there's got to be a way to unify. And, you know, it's, I don't know, all I can say from my perspective, you know, I don't like the way certain people do things. So, you know, I love them. You know, they're brothers and sisters in the Lord. But, you know, I have no need to, like, be in their life or go near them or anything. But if they come around, yes, I'm cordial to them. I love them as the Lord loves them. But, you know, I'm not going to stop living because they don't believe like I do. You know, but there's got to be something that, you know, while the world's going to hell in a handbasket, the church is over here griping about, you know, well, we don't like the way this happens, or you're a false teacher, or you're this, or you're that. You know, we're no different than the world with, you know, the different arguments. But there's got to come a time where the body is unified. And, you know, back up here in verse 2, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. To me, when I read that, it's like, you know, I've strived and I've tried to do this and I've tried to live a good life. And, you know, we all strive to do something. But you've got to get to a place where your striving is over. The only time we're to strive is to enter into the rest of God. There's a rest for the people of God. He has provided a place for us, a place of rest where we're not striving with people, we're not striving with ourselves, you know, that we just come into a place where we're at peace in the Lord with who he made us to be. Because when all these other things that are tumultuous and causing turmoil, when those are going on, we can't think straight, we can't process anything straight. So the Lord provides that rest for us in his presence and by his Holy Spirit. And to me, just dive in there, dive into the presence of God and, you know, just forsake everything else and get into his presence. And this hour, I feel like he's really, in this time, he's been for a couple of years now trying to get our attention. You know, to really, really take a look at ourselves. What are we doing? Who are we with? What are our plans? What are the things that are plaguing us? What are the things that bug us and all that? And I feel like the Lord really wants us to take stock of ourselves. And I've mentioned it before in other programs. Take stock and, like, really figure out, like Pastor Gerard Curry used to, well, he still says it probably. He always says, locate yourself. Find out where you are. And seeing you had mentioned it a couple of weeks ago about, you know, make sure that you're in the faith, you know, and to find out where you really are in the Lord. You know, do I really believe the Lord? Do I really believe that, you know, that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus? Do I really believe that I'm saved? Yes. There's many believers that are have been saved for years, and they still doubt it. They still have a lot of doubt about it.
Well, yeah. Well, some of them probably doubt because they're chewing on food that's been chewed by somebody else. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you talk about, you know, like, I really feel lately for myself, I feel like the Lord is leading me to a place to even fast the noise, like fast what everyone else is saying. Fast that. Get to that quiet place. Be still and know that I'm God. You know, the word is so simple yet is so profound, but it's constantly inviting us to see his perspective, to hear his words through it, to hear what he's saying through it. You know, we get caught up with theology and denominations and doctrine. How about we fast all of that?
Right.
Let's fast all of that and get in that cave.
Yes.
Yeah. And seek him for ourselves. Seek the truth so we can rightly divide the truth. Everybody's claiming they're hearing from God.
Right.
I got the answer. I got the truth. I got truly what this is saying. And I'm not saying any of you are wrong. But, man, this time takes more and more of a place of just honing in. Just fasting all of that, getting cleaned from all of that. I feel like, you know, we talked, months ago about reset. Let's reset. Let's reset our mind. Let's reset our heart. Let's reset internally.
Let's go to the source. As Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, for you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them. I'll walk in them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from amongst them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Mm-hmm. And then after he said all that, he says, therefore. Now, what's it there for? Mm-hmm. What's it there for? Everything that he just said.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And look at two things, perfecting holiness in the fear of God through cleansing yourself, it says, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Filthiness of the flesh are those sins and those things that we commit that we don't have to continue to do if we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. But filthiness of the Spirit is false doctrine, things we've been indoctrinated by religion without the relationship of people that really don't know who they are in Christ. And you're either thinking with righteousness minded thinking, or you're thinking under the spirit of the law of death, morality. You know, morality can't produce spirituality, but spirituality can produce morality when you're in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. So what you were just saying, Nanette, you know, we're all individual. We're different, but there's got to be the place to, you know, like you were saying about, well, I know this and I know that. And you may know that, but you only know that little piece. We know in part and we prophesy in part.
Amen.
So your piece requires another person to complete that piece. And it may need a couple of other people to complete your piece, because their piece, not peace, like
peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah, not that peace, but your piece of the puzzle, your piece of the Lord in you. You need it. Your piece does not stand alone. Jesus is the only one that stands alone. So all these other people, like you were talking about, Ned, maybe you've got people that you followed, you know, because I have people that I listen to and follow and. You know, I just listen for a nugget. I'm just listening for a thing that the Lord's going to speak to my heart. Might have to listen to an hour and a half sermon, but, and there might be just one little piece in there. But but it's the peace that I need, you know, to go on. But then we need, when we're with others, we need the pieces that everybody has. Not everybody, but for what it is that God's calling you to do and where you are in your life. You don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. So there's got to be this cooperation, this co-op with others so that, you know, you build something together. It's like we come here every Friday.
Right.
So when we meet, it's like I have a little piece of something. Scene's got a little piece of something. Deanne, sorry you had to work today. She's not here, obviously.
The more a person recognizes that their life is hidden in Christ with all the treasures of wisdom, that lets you know that there's a hidden place. A hidden place. What's the name of this show?
Hidden places.
There are hidden places embedded within every believer, the nature and the very life, the essence of who God really is. And when you recognize he is in you, then something supernatural happens. It's called a shift. That shift is an operation of the Spirit of God that wants to walk in you, work in you, live through your life to represent him in the earth as a body that has one mind, one spirit, one baptism, one faith, one calling.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And we're not clones of other people. We're not clones of, you see a lot of believers that you know which camp they came from because they sound exactly like the person they're following.
I used to live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was a real clone. I grew up though.
Tulsa clone. but truthfully, you can tell whose ministry somebody is under because the mannerisms and, you know, their voice and the way they preach or talk or whatever. But we're all individuals.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lord wants to bring. That was this program, that the idea that the Lord gave me, that there's maybe to encourage you that whatever you don't have to be like somebody else. Your part is different than the next ones.
Yeah.
You got to find out what is your part.
Yeah. And eventually you come out of those hidden places when the time is right, when God says so. And again, I'm sorry, I have to always go back to Joseph right now because Joseph is just in my forefront and his word speaks, right? His word is alive and active and it speaks. And so I'm thinking when C mentioned, you know, like these hidden times in our lives and they're necessary. Guys, you know, Joseph from the beginning, he was hidden like his brothers had to do it all. And it was interesting how, Joseph stays here. First, that was the first kind of hiddenness. And then he gets thrown into the pit. That's a little hidden spot. And then he gets sold as a slave. That's another hidden spot. And then he has some time where he's out, right? And then he gets back to that hidden prison. But eventually all of that, you know, the going in and the going out, it's like, look where he ended up. And in Genesis 45, I just want to read this because this is the end of it all, where it says, then Joseph could no longer keep his composure, and he couldn't keep his identity hidden no longer, right? And the room was crowded with people, so he orders his attendants. And Joseph said, send everybody out of the room. And Joseph didn't want anyone else in the room when he finally told his brothers his true identity. But he began to cry so loudly that the Egyptians heard it. The world heard it. The world heard it. Because remember, these are his brothers of his own kind. And he says, and the Pharaoh's household heard it too. And Joseph turned and addressed his brothers. I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were too shocked to speak. They couldn't answer, for they were so overwhelmed that they were standing in Joseph's presence. His brother said, come closer to me. And his brothers approached him cautiously. Joseph said, I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Don't be upset or angry with yourselves any longer because of what you did. You see, God sent. Here's this perspective. Perspective is everything. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, we need divine perspective. We need God's perspective. We need the truth's perspective. Okay? He says, you see, God sent me here ahead of you to preserve your life. Boom. For famine struck this land 2 years ago, and there are five more years in which there will be no plowing or harvesting. God sent me here ahead of you to make sure you and your family survive this terrible ordeal and have a remnant left on earth. So it wasn't really you. It wasn't really you who sent me here, but God. The same God who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, master of his household, and ruler over everyone in the land of Egypt. Like, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. He became master of it all. Master over Egypt. I mean, and he didn't sit there and blame his brother. Why did you do this to me? And why did you say that? Why did you feel that and go through all this? He got a hold of the bigger picture. He got a hold of what God was doing. He got a hold that God was sovereign. And it was his sovereignty that was at work in his life. God's sovereignty is at work in our lives. The whole entire world. From the King of Kings, whoever they think they are. From all the lords. But he's the Lord, right? From all the kings, he's the king. From all the presidents and leaders, da-da-da-da-da-da, trickle the way down, God is sovereign. God is sovereign.
In that sovereignty, it sounds like you're telling us that the authenticity of transparency is what allows the light to so shine and live and break forth and establish and bring to pass what thus saith the Lord really is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to go out here on a limb with something. Thank you. I don't know if I had mentioned this last week, but I was hearing that song, Only the Strong Survive, that secular song. Did I talk about that?
Oh, I love that song.
You know, obviously a secular song, yeah. But, you know, since you were talking about Joseph, and maybe this is where I feel like the Lord is bringing the body of Christ into, you know, out of the victim mentality into the victorious mentality.
Mm.
So I'm just going to read this little AI overview of what the word "only the strong survive" implies. Says, in any competitive environment, only the most capable or resilient individuals or groups will succeed and endure.
Mm.
It's often associated with the concept of survival of the fittest, a principle in evolutionary biology, but it's also used in a broader context like business, sports, and even social interactions. It suggests that a constant struggle for survival where those who are best equipped to handle challenges adapt to changing circumstances and overcome obstacles that are the ones who ultimately prevail. While physical strength can be a factor, strong in this context often refers to mental fortitude, resilience, adaptability, and the ability to learn and grow from experience. Anyway, I'm just saying it in the context of Joseph or any other believers, you know, in Christ. We can do things naturally before we know Christ. You know, there's people that are strong, you know, with their ways and stuff. But I think that the church has always been viewed as the weaklings, you know, and that only wimpy people get saved and only wimpy people. But, you know, we know that. The scripture doesn't bear that out, you know, that we had many strong people, David and many others, but that the church in itself, those that are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might are the ones who are going to continue to move forward in the Lord. When we're dependent upon Him, when we realize His sovereignty, and we connect with Him, you just take your hooks and you hook into the Lord and do it His way, then you're surviving, you're victorious. But there's many people in the church that never have gotten that because they don't know what they have, because maybe they're trying to live their Christian life without the Lord. They're doing what the Word says, but they haven't really given over everything to fully trust Him. I just want to say that this is the time for the church to be strong. The Lord's coming back for a church that is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And the Lord made you, created you to do certain things, so you got to do it to the best of your ability. I think maybe that's just what I'm saying. Just forget about what everybody else is doing and get with the Lord and find out what He wants you to do and let Him lead you in it. Let Him be your strength. Let Him, be the one to make you victorious.
What I'm getting from that is you started out and you said, I'm going to go out on a limb for a moment, and then you're talking about a song, Only the Strong Will Survive. I'm thinking that only the strong survive because they go out on the limb. Mm. And when you go out on the limb, that's where the fruit is.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Like those great mangoes that Nanette brought in last week, where there were an abundance of mangoes.
Yes, there was. Enough for all.
Right. Wow, praise God.
Wow. Gosh, what do you say after that?
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
That's right.
It's always in Him, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. It's we're only weak because we try to do it ourselves. Mm. And I'm speaking from experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I try to do it myself, it's exhausting.
But if we remain in the vine, right? If we remain in Him, He will mm-hmm. remain in us.
But He has so much for each one of us, and He really desires, you got to dream big. You got to imagine. Think about if you just sat for one day and thought about things that you always thought you would do in your life.
Oh, gosh.
No, really think about it. You know, when you're little, you think, well, I'm going to do this, and I want to do that. You know, and then you turn around and you're in your 50s and you're like, well, I haven't done anything close to that. This is the time to dream again.
Talking about me, Karen?
No. Yeah, it's time to dream again and, you know, just really trust in the Lord. Not for Him to let me say it this way. You got to make some effort. That's what it is. Make some effort to do the stuff that you never thought you could do. When you get the opportunity to do something, just jump out there and do it.
I saw that plaque that was on your desk, Karen, that said, make no small plans here.
Amen.
I love that. Gosh.
Amen.
You're speaking to me, Karen.
Dream big, because this is the time to do it. The Lord's getting ready to shift a lot of things around, and when you're in the timing and then the momentum of stuff, let all the other stuff go. Just let it go.
The shift is supernatural in Christ if you know who you are and you allow the supernatural to work, because the life you now live in Christ, you know, you no longer live, but Christ in you, your hope in glory, gives you the life to finish what He started in your life.
Amen. Praise God. Okay, so we're pretty much out of time. So I'm going to be on vacation for the next couple of weeks. So, we'd be re-airing a couple of programs, not sure which ones yet. So we'll see you soon. Have a great week. Join me again next